shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Okay, your passion is coming off as erratic.
The state assembly did their job. Democrats in the assembly stood up.
This was a very difficult time in my life.
Hollywood's biggest night.
And it's
going to be a wide hump.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome here to the world famous Phil Hendry show. And tonight we unveil our newest look, which is our Phil TV, a new generation of our webcast. Right now I have a roller coaster I'm sitting in front of here. As it careens down a track in Las Vegas, and we're broadcasting from the El Pacifico, but we have multiple camera angles, we've got effects, and we're going to continue to improve on the video look. So go over to philhendryshow.com to get a backstage pass and watch as we continue to improve the product, not just on the air, but online as well. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Charlie Sheen goes on a media blitz today saying he's sober and he's going to sue CBS. Governor Walker of Wisconsin gives the fleeing Senate Democrats an ultimatum, plus eco-friendly low-flow toilets in San Francisco cause a big stink, literally. Professor Emery Clayton joins us this hour to talk about Louis Farrakhan saying these uprisings in the Middle East will come to America. And I was at the Genesis Club here in Southern California this weekend to hear an address of Professor Clayton's, and he and I are going to talk about that. Our number is 877-876-7445, and our affiliate spotlight tonight is on WXNT 1430 AM in Indianapolis and the WVOP 970 AM in Vidalia, Georgia. Great affiliates on the Phil Hendry Show network, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. So check out our brand spanking new Phil TV videocast, the second generation of our videocast. And while you're online, go ahead and pick up a backstage pass and listen to our archives. We've got thousands of hours, and we continue to add to them, as well as our videocast, as well as our news feed, as well as our email, which I answered all of it this weekend, even though it's in form letter.
Yeah, I don't know how many people don't like that.
Well, at least I answered it, okay? Professor Emery Clayton joining us from L.A. Canyon College in Southern California as Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader, predicted on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East. And I heard you speak last night, Professor Clayton, about this, and you seem to agree with Louis Farrakhan.
Well, I do agree with Louis Farrakhan, and I said as much at the Genesis Club address that I made last night, one that I was very grateful to see you at, Phil. And I heard the people who were there discussing afterward the veracity of these claims made by Minister Farrakhan. We can get into discussing what Minister Farrakhan said, but I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, young man.
And all right.
I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, because as I was giving my address and giving my reasons based upon some 250, if not 300 years of European colonial rule in North America, using the sweat of African slaves, and as I was giving historical precedent and citing historical reasons for what Minister Farrakhan said, I saw you in the front row, and you weren't the only one. And I will talk to those individuals that I saw in my own good time, but I saw you laughing at one point.
You saw me laughing when?
I don't recall at what point in the address, but I got the distinct impression you were not taking me seriously, and that's fine. I suppose a man has every right in the world to express his opinion, but I think I have every right in the world to express the following opinion.
Well, let me just, for if I was laughing, and I do recall laughing, it was at the notion that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root in the United States.
That was in essence the comments made by Minister Farrakhan, and he made those comments in Illinois. He said, well, you're looking at Tunisia, you're looking at Egypt, you're looking at Libya, you're looking at Bahrain. You better prepare because it's coming to your door.
Right, and that's when I laughed.
Yes, you laughed, And what I want to say on your program tonight was, I don't think it was the kindest thing in the world to do, Phil. But I'm not worried for myself. I'm not worried for myself. I thought it was insulting to me because I'm an educated man. It's got nothing to do with Emory Clayton, the man, but it did have something to do with me as a professor.
You feel insulted that I left?
Of course I felt insulted that you left. Excuse me for a minute. I need some water.
Go ahead.
Of course I felt insulted. And I felt insulted because I am a professor of urban studies at a university here in the United States of America, and you've told me you don't even have a college degree. Is that correct?
I do not have a college degree, no. But let me just say this. I don't...
So you don't have a college degree, and yet you sat and you laughed at me.
I wasn't laughing at you.
Well, then what were you laughing at?
I was laughing at the notion that you were, you know, I mean, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the notion. I wouldn't even be laughing, really, at Minister Farrakhan. I'm laughing at the idea that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root here in the United States. A completely different country sociologically, a completely different country politically, a completely different country historically.
And the people of color that live in this country, do you think there's some other kind of person of color that lives in Africa or lives in the Middle East?
Yes, I do, and I'll tell you why.
You do. So you say there is a different, what, do they have a tail?
No, they are different culturally, politically, historically. If you're talking about black people or even Arab people in America, these are Arab American, African American. These are different people from the standpoint of upbringing, from the standpoint of socialization, from the standpoint of their orientation politically, from the standpoint, everything. They're North Americans, you know.
All right. You use a lot of big words. But what I am trying to tell you, Phil, is that no amount of big words, no amount of reading in a magazine and getting a big word out of it, is going to make up for the fact that you don't have a college education. And the people that are listening to your program, I think, are going to take their cue from you. And I know that a lot of people in America don't have college education. I know that a lot of people that are working third shift are not college educated.
All right, and what is the point? Are we not allowed to have opinions?
You are most certainly allowed to have an opinion, but it's not an informed opinion when it comes to debating me. My opinion is informed by the fact that I've got a college degree. My opinion is informed by the fact that I'm a college-educated black man. My opinion is informed by the fact that I am not only a college-educated black man, but I am a professor. I'm a teacher of these things. And for you to sit in the front row of my address and laugh and in so doing, denigrate my political point of view, I think needs to be pointed out and it needs to be straightened out. And
well, are you all right? So what did I say that you disagree with?
It's not a matter of me disagreeing with you. It's a matter of you disagreeing with me. And
well, that sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it?
I don't think it sounds arrogant when the facts are very clear. I am a man with a college degree. I am a man with a teacher's credential. I am a black man, and I am a man who is very aware of the societal influences you speak of, the socioeconomic and culture and so forth. Minister Farrakhan made a statement. I concur with it. Now, in the front row of my speech was you, a white man. And you laugh at me. Now, that does not compute. And
well, you know, the laughter, it was a couple of points where I laughed, Professor Clayton, when I heard you saying that this is going to come sweeping into America. And
yeah, but you do not have the training or the education to laugh at me. You see? You don't have the
Well, what about the fact if I just happen to find it funny?
There's no such thing as just happening to find it funny. There comes a point when you have to look at who it is you're listening to and say, that man's got an education, I don't. That man is a black man, I'm not. teacher. I'm not. That man is most likely much smarter than me. Now, I'm not singling you out.
No, I know you're not singling me out. What you're basically saying is I've got an audience, and there's a lot of people listening to the radio, whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime. There's a lot of folks out there who have do not have college degrees, and I shouldn't encourage them.
Well, that's my point, because what you're doing then is you're saying, look at me, I don't have a college degree. As a matter of fact, I don't have, I've got no, barely any college experience at all. And yet here I am doing a talk show. And I'm making opinions, and I'm formulating opinions, and I even went so far as to sit and listen to the speech of an educated man that I know, and I laughed at it. Laughed. In his face.
And I didn't laugh in your face, Professor Emery. I was sitting there in the front row.
Well, you're sitting in the front row, and you laughed in my face. And
well, I did not mean to. If the laugh, I don't think my laughter was all that evident.
Well, it was fairly evident.
Well, how evident?
Well, I think that when you laughed, people could hear it in the second, third row because you went, ha-ha. You understand?
No, I don't remember going, ha-ha, like that. I remember...
You put your hand or your fingers to your nose as if you were trying to stifle a laugh. Now... I'm talking to you about this tonight, Phil, because this is bigger than whatever it was that Farrakhan said what he said, and I agree with him. But for you to laugh, and then you said to me afterwards, I don't have a college education, but a lot of people in America don't. We still are going to have opinions. And I said to you, yes, but are you trying to tell me that your opinion on this is going to be it's going to be right?
Well, who ultimately knows what's right?
Exactly.
Until the event takes place. In this case, uprisings here in the United States in much the same form. I have just heard in my life people talk in apocalyptic terms all the time. All my life I've heard people say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, oh my God this, oh my God that. I have heard people say all kinds of crazy things.
What do you mean by crazy, though? You see, you've heard. But you've seen riots, haven't you? You've seen uprisings.
I've seen a lot of urban disturbance, but none of it having to do with anything that the people are... all of it having to do with the American experience, you know?
Well, the American experience, yes. But you're trying to say you know more about it than I do. Now, let's get back to the point. You know,
I'm just telling you what I know.
And what you know is what you know. People who don't have a college education are going to listen to you and say, listen to Phil, he's talking on the radio with a big talk show, and he has these opinions, and he's talking to Emery Clayton, and he's, excuse me, Phil, but you're butting in. And
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
But that's what you're doing, and they're going to be encouraged to do the same thing. That's all I'm saying. And
so you don't want people questioning you?
I don't want people such as yourself who don't even have a college education telling me about whether or not Bahrain's going to blow sky high and the brothers there are going to influence some of the activities of the brothers here. This is something I'm intimately involved and knowledgeable in, and you, with no college education, are going to tell me? And then you laughed at me.
I'm apologizing for that, okay?
Apology accepted.
All right. Then can we move on?
We can move on. I'm not angry anymore. I'm just telling you how it affected the speech. It threw me off. And now I've had to deal with people since then who aren't college educated coming up to me and going, well, Professor Clayton, let me tell you what I think. Excuse me, what college did you go to? Well, I didn't go to a college because they know you didn't either.
Well, it's worth talking about, but I don't think that I think it's a dead end. You say, you know, if you have a college, if you don't have a college education, if you do have a college education, you can't talk to me about Minister Farrakhan's statements that the Middle East uprisings are coming to America. Professor Emery Clayton, who is a college-educated man, and yes, I did laugh at his speech when he said that he agrees with Minister Farrakhan that the uprisings in the Middle East are coming to America. I shouldn't do that. I don't have a college education. And maybe neither do you. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-Phil. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our number 877-876-7445. Professor Emory Clayton joining me as we comment on Nation of Islam leader Minister Louis Farrakhan predicting on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East.
Let me explain as well, Phil. In that case, in that instance, Minister Farrakhan does not disagree at all with some of these people that you may admire, like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has predicted this.
I don't agree with Glenn Beck. You know.
Well, you may not agree with Glenn Beck, but it puts you a little bit outside of the mainstream of where a lot of you people seem to put your confidence. But I'm going to say this.
I don't agree with him. If Glenn says that this is what's going to happen, I disagree with him, too. I do not believe, and Americans make this mistake always.
Hold on for a minute, because you're starting to give a lecture. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one that...
I understand that. I'm entitled to an opinion, though.
You're entitled to an opinion, but let me... I've got to express mine first. I'm the one with the teaching credential. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one... and you and many of the people that listen to the talk show, I don't know about the people listening to you. Many people listening to talk radio don't have the education that it takes to debate someone such as myself. Now, I am a professor of urban studies. I have a...
Pardon me, but I know what your credentials are.
Why'd you interrupt me? See, you did that again. You did that on Sunday night. You did it again.
Sir, I did not interrupt you on Sunday night. I laughed. I'm sorry that it was a distraction.
It was a humiliation for me to stand there with a college... I got a college degree, and I'm laying it down, as we say. You know, I'm laying it down. Back in my neighborhood, that's what we used to say as young people. I'm going to lay it down for you. And you laugh at me.
I apologize.
I accepted your apology, but I just want you to be aware of what you did.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. I got the same cough you have.
Fancy that.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Terry in Meridian, Mississippi. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
First of all, I want to say that this education that he keeps referring to, there is a country full of educated idiots, and for example, in Washington, D.C. right now, and...
educated idiots?
You have the right to your opinion as well as any of the rest of us, but there's a lot of college-educated, college-degree folks out here running up down the road driving trucks, and which I might add is the heartbeat of America is the truck driver.
I don't think that's the norm. I agree with the truck drivers being the heartbeat of America, to haul the freight. The truck drivers do a great job. But to say that most of them have got college degrees, come on.
There are doctors out here. There are medical doctors driving tractor trailers.
How good can they be?
Doesn't matter how good they can be or not. They're tired of the profession working in medicine.
Tired of making money? I would think that a man...
Who knows why they're driving trucks? Maybe medicine became boring for them. Maybe it wasn't really their calling. Maybe they went into medicine because their mother wanted them to be a doctor, you know? And they just decided they wanted to drive a truck, you know?
Mr. Henry, this is the point that I'm making. And this gentleman, Terry, that's on the line. Terry, please. You can hear Mr. Henry likes to talk. He has no college education. You can talk about the truck drivers with college education. Mr. Henry has no college education, and yet listen to him, blah, blah, blah.
All right, you hold the line. Terry, hold the line. I'm going to take a break, but we will be right back with you here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with, I just hung up on Terry, great. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Nice going, because you're talking.
We'll be right back. Call me back, Terry. Sorry.
Blah, 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 blah.
Phil Hendry. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots, on this night that we roll out the next generation of our videocast, Phil TV. Our new live webcast with much, much more enhanced view of us doing the show and special effects. With me is Minister Farrakhan. This is Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College, commenting on what Minister Farrakhan said this past weekend, that the uprisings in the Middle East will visit America. For me to even give an opinion is unworthy.
I didn't say it's unworthy, Phil. What I said was...
Well, that's every time I gave an opinion...
I believe I let you give your opinion at the beginning of this. I believe I let... But for you to continue to repeat it in the face of a college-educated black man, and I say that with pride. I'm not hiding that. A college-educated black man. And for you to give your opinion in the face of that and say sociologically and this and that, and a lot of big words. No, your big words that you learn reading Reader's Digest or a big word book, I don't know what kind, that's fine. And
if I'm enhancing my vocabulary and at least my understanding of words.
But you are giving your listeners who are in the same boat as you, people with no college education, you're empowering them to speak up and argue with me. I don't mind people arguing, but at some point you have to acknowledge I'm arguing with a college-educated man.
877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. I'll let my listeners decide. How about that? Now, poor Terry, I hung up on him, but he wanted to just conclude some thoughts. Go ahead, Terry, and thanks for hanging in.
Yes, I was going to ask the professor. He keeps talking about, in your defense, I'm speaking in your defense.
Thank you.
Professor, can you do what Mr. Hendry does in that radio booth?
Well, I forgive me for saying this, sir, but I can't. I'm not an organ grinder either. You know, I can't groom poodles, and I don't sweep streets. So no, I can't do what Mr. Hendry does in that booth. And
this is like a classroom.
A classroom? Are you
exactly
kidding? Oh, you guys have got to be kidding me. Mr. Hendry is, at best, he's a guy that's keeping the campfire tended. But you are not teaching people. I teach people. I've got a teaching credential.
There's a lot of people in the classroom with college education that are not teaching. They're drawing a paycheck, sir.
I will tell you this, sir. I think it's a tragedy. I mean, I think it is a damn shame that Mr. Hendry commands the audience that he commands, and he hadn't got the education that God gave a hound dog with mange. And
boy, that is really insulting, man. I mean, I got out of high school.
That doesn't get you any place now. And with the job, the level of responsibility that you've got, I find the job you've got, I think is, I find it to be a tragedy. Just a tragedy.
Let's go to Sandy in Yakima, Washington. Sandy, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have been listening this evening, and I'm sorry that I think I got so sidetracked, but I'm going to stay on the sidetrack. I am highly offended with Mr. Clayton's assumption and confusion of education versus intelligence. There is a far cry between the two. I know a lot of well-educated idiots, and I know a lot of very intelligent, successful business people that do not have a college education, and I find...
Did you hear how you said that, ma'am? Ma'am, did you hear how you just said that? You said, suck successful. And I think you were being, I don't think you were trying to be funny, but I think it was a subconscious a statement. Successful. In other words, they may, you didn't even know you said that, did you?
And okay, what's the point?
The point is, she was mocking those people.
Yes, she's mocking those people as being, maybe you missed the point.
I didn't miss any point.
No, she was saying that they may be successful, they may be college educated, but they're idiots.
Well, would you deny, ma'am, boy, that takes, you know, that takes a lot of guts to say that. Would you deny, ma'am, that there are a lot of people without college educations?
Sir, my brother is a doctorate, and he's intelligent, and he has worked for the government for many years. My father, who had a photographic memory, did not have the opportunity to go to college, was one of the most intelligent men I have ever known. My husband also does not have a college degree, but I will tell you, sir, he could run circles around you in the intelligence area. And education is not an indication of intelligence. It's an indication of schooling, and it might be underwater BB stacking, which means the degree wouldn't amount to much.
You said a whole lot of nothing there, with all due respect. That was a whole lot of nothing. You say that you got, well, you say you got all these people that are educated, then you got somebody else not educated.
And, oh, sir, I am educated.
You're educated.
Do not make a mistake
asking you,
on that.
Are you trying to tell me are you trying to tell me, though, that people that are uneducated in your family, because you said there's some uneducated ones, are going to be able to out-argue me?
Well,
I have
God,
a plan,
I mean,
but there are a lot of people that do very well that do not have the kind of education you're talking about, and there are a lot of educated idiots out there.
That may very well be, but they cannot say they know more about what I'm talking about than I do.
Oh, they can, and they may be accurate. Apparently, if someone doesn't agree with you, they're not educated enough.
That makes me angry, Ben. That I will give you all, but you can't tell me that some, excuse me for saying this, one of your relatives is smarter than me.
You know, are you
excuse
me, Phil, but I'm talking to a lady who's got an education.
I do have a college education, but let's throw that aside.
Right, so I'd rather talk to you, and I don't want to talk to an idiot like Henry. And I can tell you...
Hey, watch the idiot thing.
I did not need a college education to have the ability to be well-read. No one does. It doesn't take that. You can read, you can teach yourself anything, sir, anything.
You are, wait a minute, what did you just say? You do not have the ability to be well-read? That doesn't make any sense at all. Wow.
Use words.
You said to me you don't have no ability.
He didn't say that.
No, my name is Henry Clayton. I'm the guest. Did anybody invite you on a show to be a guest? No, they invited me on a show to be a guest.
Wow. Now I know why so much of your time you say blah, blah, blah. It makes more sense now.
See,
anyway,
here we
thank
go.
You for having
you're,
me. On
you're educated. Yeah, okay, I won.
No, you didn't win. There's nobody winning.
That lady reduced herself to the level of someone throwing, excuse me for saying it, ma'am, like a monkey throwing feces in a cage.
No, she most certainly did not. I don't agree. Thank you very much, Sandy, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't agree with that at all. And
she, at the very end, she was going, wow, wow. She was mocking me like an 11-year-old girl who got into laser tag and somebody else didn't.
You know, Louis Farrakhan made a speech that you made a speech commenting on, and we haven't talked about it at all.
We're not going to talk about his speech until I'm assured of the fact that the people I'm talking to are educated with regard to the cultural, sociological, psychological, political realities of the situation. I'm not going to talk to a guy that's got 1 year at JC. Now, Phil, I don't denigrate you as a man.
No, not at all. You just won't talk to me about certain things, even if I make sense.
You're not making sense. I listened to what you said at the very beginning. You're making no sense. You made about as much sense as that, and I understand you like to listen to Johnny Cash. I'm hearing that Johnny Cash music you was listening to just before the show, right?
Yeah.
You make about as much sense as that guy does.
Johnny Cash has passed on. Let's have a little respect.
I have respect for Mr. Cash, but I'm saying his music is not my cup of tea. He doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying it's bad, Agent. I just don't understand what he's talking about. Boy Named Sue, and that's not even what we're discussing here. All right,
let me move on to a call here. 877-876-7445. Joanna in Lafayette, Louisiana. Hi, Joanna. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Listen, Phil, I don't even understand why you were putting up with this fellow. Sir, I have a master's degree in psychology, okay? And I've worked at a university, and I'll tell you something right now. You're talking to an educated woman. And let me tell you something. In America, Americans, whether they're educated or uneducated, have the right to have an opinion, and they have the right to vote and express that opinion. And our forefathers gave us that. And you are very arrogant to assume that your opinion is better than anyone else's.
I never said you don't have or Mr. Henry had no right. I said once I heard his 1 year of junior college opinion, am I supposed to sit there and argue with the man? And he's trying to tell me about the Middle East and the cultural reality of not only the Middle East, but the racial reality of that part of the world. He's trying to tell me, a black man. And I got to sit and listen and listen.
Yes, you are supposed to. Because he has a right to
the point of bleeding. I heard the opinion. Now it's time to get real. You see what I'm saying? It would be like you have a degree in psychology. Are you going to listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start laying it on you about psychology? Okay, right there, you just gave it away. You see?
I didn't give anything away, sir. The phone is not coming through clearly.
No, you gave it away. I'm talking too fast. I'm talking too fast for you. Isn't that what you said?
Oh, God.
Yes, but
the connection is bad, sir.
Uh-huh. What I said was the following thing. Are you going to be, as a psychologist... Well, she's giving me lip.
Well, she's not giving you any lip.
I heard her go, uh-huh.
No.
Look at this look at the professor.
Look at Mr. Henry. I've got way better things I can do. Okay, you know I've got rats in the cellar. You know what I'm saying is this: are you going to listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start rapping psychology to you? Of course not. You may listen to that child for about 5 minutes, and then you'll politely dismiss that child and move on about your business. It's the same thing with me.
Okay,
and I'm
going to
come on the Phil Henry Show, and Mr. Henry's going to tell me all about Bahrain, and he's going to tell me all... No.
Anyone can educate themselves, just like that former lady said. Anyone can study and read. Look at Glenn Beck. He is so brilliant. He's probably got an IQ.
He's an idiot.
He doesn't have a college degree. But he's got a memory that's impeccable. He can stand in front of you.
How do you know his memory's impeccable? How do you know he's not making that? How do you know that simple-minded fool isn't making half of that stuff up? You don't know.
No, he's not. That man is telling the truth. He's almost the only one giving America the truth. Almost the only one.
I bet you don't even check it out. I bet you just trust him because you think he's like, what do you want to call it, Jesus? You think he's like Jesus Christ?
I'll listen to idiots like you, too.
Glenn Beck is going to be in a padded cell one of these days, and you'll be
laughed
at by your friend. He'll be in a padded cell.
God, man,
America
you really have got...
is a free country, sir. Our forefathers made it free.
Glenn Beck agrees with Louis Farrakhan. Glenn Beck agrees with Louis Farrakhan.
The Constitution and making our law according to the Constitution, we won't be free anymore. And if we listen to people like you and Farrakhan, we'll be oppressed, okay?
Wait a minute.
And I don't intend on being oppressed.
That proves you're not smart because Glenn Beck agrees with Farrakhan. He thinks the violence is coming here, too.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
I believe that this will be tried in America, but we won't succeed. And I believe that's
exactly
what Phil was
no, it will
to
succeed.
It won't succeed.
No, I was saying that
Americans
it's not.
Americans won't let it succeed. They'll try.
Hold on. I want to give you something that you deserve here. Hey, what a speech. Isn't that beautiful?
Why are you being sarcastic?
Oh, she thinks she's Dolly Madison.
All right. Anyway, thank you for your call, ma'am. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's pretty rude. Don't you think, Professor? Yeah. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
A lot of demand to talk to Professor Emory Clayton here tonight, so we may just go into the next hour with Professor Clayton. He has told me that he's willing to. Professor Clayton, I appreciate that.
Well, I would like you and I'd like your listeners to understand, and I hope that they are at this particular, I hope that they are being mindful of the fact that I have said, yes, I would like to be a part of another hour of broadcasting. That means I am being gracious. That means that I am being forthcoming. That means I'm being magnanimous. It's one of my favorite words, magnanimous. Magnanimity. And I do not believe it's been extended to me.
Professor Clayton, I have apologized to you for laughing at you during your speech. I acknowledge you're an educated man, but I think you're practicing some form of...
What, voodoo? You want to start talking about the black man?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I think I was going to say some kind of intellectual totalitarian thinking where only those with college educations should speak.
Well, I believe that we have reached a point in this country. We have so many idiots. Now, that lady there just said, Glenn, who's the man that's on the radio?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, she's talking about, boy, there's a guy that's got no education, spent time in a drunk tank. From my understanding, he was... Wasn't he trying out at Promises or the Betty Ford Clinic or someplace like that?
And I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think people can learn from their mistakes in life, move on, and benefit other people. Here is Jay in Houston, Texas. Jay, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Professor Emory Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell that professor that with all his education and everything, I don't have no education, sir, but I make $175,000 a year in the oil field. And people don't have to brag on themselves. You're so self-centered, man. You need to get off
I'm
that.
I'm not putting down how much money you make. I think that's a great thing. I think you've found your calling in this world. You're going to talk to me about Louis Farrakhan. Nobody's going to talk to me about that. And Mr. Henry laughed at me. Sat there in the front row and laughed. Laughed like a hyena.
No, I didn't. I didn't laugh like a hyena. I laughed.
Sir, the man has already apologized.
Watch his language, please.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? No college education, a man comes out with the S-bomb.
All right, the man was... You know, Professor Clayton, you're not giving people a chance.
Yeah, you need to.
I think I'm giving them.
You need to keep your mouth shut a little bit and listen. I think you have a lot. You have a lot of college education, but for what? I don't hear nothing coming out of you. But you're a
college education. I said to Henry and the rest of them people that were talking that would listen to me that Louis Farrakhan is right. There are going to be uprisings in the United States. Then Henry says to me, "Well, Glenn Beck agrees with you," and I said, "Man, boy, I don't know what you're smoking." Or maybe you ought to check the mushrooms you're eating, because that's about the wildest thing I've ever heard.
I think
It's true. If Glenn Beck, Louis Farrakhan, you know, there's a lot of people predicting some sort of whack apocalyptic thing. I don't agree with that.
Well, you may not agree with it, but you're disagreeing with a man. Here I am. And this gentleman here, this Jay, he doesn't like me saying it, but I got to say it. You're disagreeing with a man who, A, I've got a college education.
We know all about your college education.
Tired of hearing.
God.
Well, you know what? Then, when you guys get an education like the one I've got, then you can talk.
I bet you don't make no money, man.
You know what? I'm a teacher. Is that all right with you? What do you think? You going to laugh at teachers too?
My wife is a teacher. My wife is a school teacher.
You laugh at her?
You don't go around bragging. I've got all these credentials and all this. You don't put me down. I don't put her down. All you've done is put this man in the radio. Hold on, man. Let me finish, man.
I think she ought to start.
Let me finish. All you do is put down the radio, the guy on the field. All you've done is put him down. You put down that lady before you put down. You need to be put down. You need to be put in your place, sir. The best thing that
you
Hold on, sir.
Is a college education that I've got. I'm educated.
I don't care about your college education. You bleed just like me. You bleed just like me. You put your pants on just like me. You use the restroom just like me.
I wash my pants first.
Okay. All right, Jeff, very good, Jay. Very good call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Professor Emery Clayton. We're going another hour in this discussion of college educations and Louis Farrakhan.
Put my pants on like him, I don't think so.
Phil Henry.
I wash my drawers.
Learn more at talkradionetwork.com. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I have not, because I don't feel like there's any real support there. No one has issues.
The take home lesson from this is that, well, they were very, very unprofessional.
Are you blonde?
No.
Sons going out onto the streets to protest, save it.
And he pulled his pants down?
There is something that I got to tell you now.
Who's the wiener here?
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our number 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking here with Professor Emery Clayton about a lot more than just Louis Farrakhan, we're talking about college educations, and who has the right to speak in America, a country built on free speech. We'll be back with Professor Clayton here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com, where we have rolled out the next generation of Phil TV. Our live webcast is enhanced tonight, and we hope you join us with a backstage pass and watch as we give you multiple camera angles, enhanced effects, and a whole new viewing experience on the World Wide Web here, the Phil Henry Show. As well as, of course, with a backstage pass, our archives, as well as our podcast, the daily podcast, you can access at philhenryshow.com and through iTunes as well, and our classic podcast. So lots to do, and a lot waiting for you at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. And so before we get back to some phone calls, and we appreciate the people who have been hanging on with us, Professor Clayton, back with us. And, you know, obviously you've raised a ruckus here, Professor Clayton, starting with your contention that I did not have the right to laugh at you during that talk you gave, and then moving on to I don't really have the right to talk to you about this issue, and then moving on to the fact that I'm uneducated. And it doesn't seem to bother you that you sound effete. You sound
That's one of those 50-cent words.
Well, you sound Machiavellian, totalitarian. You sound dictatorial. You sound controlling. What word would you like to use?
I am. Here's the word I'd like to use. I'm educated. I'm educated, Phil. Now I know. I give every man his due. Don't think that I'm not egalitarian. I'm a very egalitarian man, but I give every man his due, but I also know what each man is due. Now, if you want me on your radio program, I've been doing your radio program. I'm here in the middle of the night, and I'd love to be on, I don't know if you're familiar, on that Mike Malloy show. I want to get on that show and do some of these other shows that are not overnight, and I'm buried. I mean, I'm buried alive in the middle of the night. I don't know if you ever heard. There's only one band that I like of that, what you call heavy metal, because most of my music, as you probably imagine, I like black music. But I do like that one band that's called Venom. And
I know Venom. They're a metal band.
Yes, and they've got a song called Buried Alive. And doing these radio shows with you, man, that's a, that, I, when I hear that man sing that song, drinking that Newcastle beer like those white people do in England. I'm buried alive, all right. I'm trying to claw myself out of the dirt.
Well, you know, if you're having a hard time dealing with being on this show, then maybe we can just conclude.
No, I'm not. You see, you get so touchy, don't you?
Well, you're talking about the fact that I'm not educated, the fact that you're buried alive here in the middle of the night on my show. You'd rather be on Mike Malloy's show.
Well, because Mike Malloy agrees with the great... You're a conservative. You're talking about Patriot Radio and all this. And,
well, why don't we talk about Wisconsin, but you don't want to do that either.
I'm not going to get involved in a discussion of Wisconsin where I'm going to be sucked in to having to talk to people that are not educated enough on the issue of Wisconsin to debate intelligently, and all they know how to do is call me stuck up and get all mad at me because I'm smarter than them. I won't have it. I will not have that. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin with you, Phil, and I've told you how you can talk about Wisconsin with me.
Yeah, you told me go back and get 2 more years of school.
Right. You go back and get your bachelor's degree because you got 2 years of JC, my friend. That ain't going to get it done. That just don't cut it. That don't cut it in the conversation with me. You want to sit down and break bread with me? At least I'm being honest with you.
877-876-7445. Must be a very lonely world not having anybody to talk to. And
wait a second. I got plenty of people to talk to. I got plenty of people to talk to.
You got plenty of people to talk to. You should not get so upset when a man such as myself, as low on the totem pole as I am, laughs during one of your speeches. Here is Lynn in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead, Lynn.
I wasn't giving a speech. I was giving a talk.
All right. Go ahead, Lynn. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Clayton. Yes, ma'am. Lynn.
Yes, Mr. Clayton. I'm in a situation where that I deal with a lot of different people of a lot of different cultures, and I can spot a professor right off because they seem to have this arrogance about them that their way is the only way, and I just think it's really unfortunate that our young people are going and they're going to college. They're putting themselves in front of someone like you who is so extremely opinionated that you don't have time to listen to people. And I think if you were a little nicer to people, maybe they'd be nicer to you.
I do have time. I do have time to listen to people. And I do listen to people. And I can't help it if I'm right. When I look at someone, and he says to me, Mr. Hendry, I've got a year and a half of JC, and then he laughs at me. Laughs in my face.
Just because you have an education doesn't mean you're right. And like I said before, to think that our young people are going to college and they get your opinion, which seems to be the only opinion, on regardless of what it is, I just think it's really, really sad.
My opinion is the only opinion. But I will say that Mr. Hendry does not have the education to debate me. Now, if I had someone, I don't know what your education is, and
you had people coming on here with education.
Whoa, excuse me. I'm talking to the lady. Ma'am, what is your educational level?
Actually, I went to high school, but I also know how to treat people like people. And, you know, I'm not going out there. I'm not trying to agitate people.
Okay.
What does that mean?
You wasted my time, Mr. Hendry.
I'm not wasting your time.
How about if you treat people the way that you want to be treated? And I think you get from people what you ask for. And I deal with professors.
I know. And you make lemons, make lemonade out of lemons, and you make a pig's ear out of a sow's syrup. The point is that...
Don't be condescending, okay?
I thought you were lining up people that had been to college. I thought you were lining them up for me.
I think
so that
you
we go run, bang, bang, bang.
I'm human. I mean, just because I couldn't afford to go to college doesn't make me an idiot.
What we're talking about, Professor Clayton, is how to treat people.
I know what you're doing. It's like I may not be a great man, but at least I'm a civil man. I understand that. I understand that. I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson.
I just think
you know, it's all
kindness.
Exactly.
I think the world needs kindness, but I also feel that the world needs a little more ass kicking. I think we got to put our boot in the ass of a few people. And I think some of these, like you, Mr. Henry, 2 years of college, I'd put my boot in your ass. Why don't you go back and get your B.A.? Or you've been spending too much time in college flashing a B.A. I bet you that was your problem.
Well, that's very nice talk with a lady on the line.
Oh, she knows I'm clowning.
Anyway, Lynn, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, you know,
I agree with the lead. There should be more kindness. I agree with you, ma'am, but
prayer list that God will come down and thump you on the head and make you nicer. You have a blessed day.
You know, that's another way of saying F you. You know that, don't you?
What is?
Saying I'll pray for you. That's another way of people so they can say, boy, I'd like it.
Well, you see, you're in this area of condescension.
No, I'm not, Phil.
Yes, you are. You're in an area of condescension where now it's, I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson and a pig's ear out of a sow's purse or whatever.
A pig's ear out of a sow's purse? You mean a sow's purse out of a sow? Oh, boy, you got it so jacked up and balled up, I don't even know what it is.
A silk purse out of a sow's ear.
There, look at that. That's what 2 years of college gets you. You got to sit there and rack your brains over something like that. Give me a break. I didn't disrespect that lady at all.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You're talking to her. You're talking to me like we don't rate, and you don't want to talk about Wisconsin because we don't have the education. Mike in Bakersfield, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Phil. I mean,
I'm trying to maintain a certain level.
Yes, sir.
For quite a while. Just seething listening to this individual because, Professor, you are not a teacher. You are a professor. There is a difference. You can be well-rounded, well-educated without going to college. You can have knowledge. You can have opinions. Professor, what is the spacing of a 2x4 in a wall? How many inches on center? Do you know?
I hire a guy. You don't know.
What is an SCCM? A skim. SCCM.
I know what that is. It's something a guy without a college education needs to know about.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Squared cubic centimeter. It is a flow measurement of gases in the semiconductor industry, Professor.
It means nothing.
Do you know what a tor is?
Of
course
There's
not.
No point to that.
Because
no point
you,
to that.
Sir, could not
we
find your
know.
Butt with a
we
flashlight, a roadmap, and both
the
hands.
Future.
You are a
That's
pompous, the... arrogant
no.
individual whose only claim is that I'm an educated
I hire guys
man.
That know stuff like
Who
that.
Who cares?
I hire guys that know stuff like that.
I
don't need to know that. I hire a man to know that.
But you claim to be educated. You claim to have a college degree. You should know this stuff.
That's something you learn in manual arts. You don't learn that in college.
No, sir.
Yes, you learn that on
a matchbook company working on multi-million-dollar tools producing the chips that are in the computer that you use every day.
You learn that at night on a matchbook.
Wrong.
One of the matchbook universities.
You learn that in school.
That's exactly right.
Professor, what is FSI?
What is the basic lower bicameral House of Sudan?
Sir, that I do not know.
Bicameral lower House?
That I do not know.
You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know. You don't know
how
the nations of the world stack up.
How is knowing that applicable and financially viable?
So you, the next time you get up on a radio station and talk about Africa, then you know. Now, what is a midget?
Because the only way you can earn a living.
What do you mean, what's a midget?
That you are producing.
I bet you don't even know what a midget is.
What is that supposed to mean?
A midget.
What is it? A midget?
Yes.
A midget is a small person. It is a small vehicle. It is a measure of dimensions.
I gave you an easy one. Now,
this is a conversation that we're having.
I gave him an easy one. But what he's trying to do is he's laying some stuff on me that he took at Manual Arts High School. And he's trying to ask me what that means. And
Professor,
I got a four-year degree in college.
Because if you had to get your hands dirty and actually earn a living, you couldn't do it. Thank you very much.
What I do, you could, don't you dare hang up. I get the last word on
that. Oh, hold on. Thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. This asinine conversation with Professor Emery Clayton will continue after the break. How much education do you need? I'm going to get into Wisconsin with him and what's going on in Wisconsin, even though I don't have enough education to talk to him about it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our news hour, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our Patriot line is open. Professor Emery Clayton has joined us. It's always a challenging time, Professor. Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker has said that the Democrats better come back, or they're going to have to move ahead with a budget that is essentially going to further strap the state. Okay?
Yeah. Again, something that you don't know anything about.
And can you not be so insulting?
Well, I'm trying not to be insulting. What I'm trying to say is, you know, let the record show you laughed at me. And
I laughed at you. It's over, okay? I thought you accepted my apology.
I did accept your apology. I did accept your apology. You want to talk about Wisconsin? All right, we can talk about Wisconsin. We can talk about Louis Farrakhan if you want. That'd be fine. But I'm going to tell you, as God is my, as God made green little apples, that if I'm right and you're wrong, you have to take it like a man. And that's the problem we've got with so many people these days that get involved in these conversations, political conversation. And I find myself arguing circles around these people, and they can't even take it like a man. And for me to find truth.
Well, you know, maybe you're not exactly convincing them.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, though. If I don't convince them, that is a question of their education, what I'm talking about.
All right, 877-876-7445. We'll take another phone call here, and we have Lorraine in Mobile, Alabama. Lorraine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Professor Clayton, you may have a college education, but the world teaches you common sense, and you wouldn't be affecting your health by trying to force people to believe like you if you would just listen.
I listen to people, ma'am. I listen all the time. And these days,
I'm 83 years old, and
you made it through.
I haven't heard anything that you've taught me.
Well, I can tell you, ma'am, that, well, I'd be happy to teach you, but I have a classroom full of young people I teach, and I'd be happy to teach you, Lorraine, but Mr. Hendry feels the need to continue to talk and talk about things he don't know anything about.
Like what?
Well, you want to talk about Wisconsin, and I'm sure Lorraine would like to talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is known as the Badger State. You know why? Because the way they run their lives up there, it badgers people to death, the way they run their lives up there, the way they run everything into the ground. You know, it's a cheese, Lorraine. They have cheese in Wisconsin. You understand that?
I didn't know. I couldn't understand you. Do you agree with them, the one that's on strike?
Ma'am, you're telling me you don't even know they got cheese in Wisconsin.
She couldn't hear you.
You tell people what they believe and what they think. You have no idea because you don't ever listen.
Well, ma'am, I asked you, are you aware of the fact that they have cheese in Wisconsin? Cheese in Wisconsin. Cheese. You're aware of that?
Yes, she's aware of that.
No, I'm just asking the lady if she is.
Well, I didn't call to talk about Wisconsin. I called to try to save you a little time and making yourself sick. You can't force people to believe you when they know better.
You're absolutely right, ma'am. You're absolutely right. And when they know better, no, you're absolutely right. You know, but I'll tell you something. If people think they know better, but they don't, and I can feel my guts start to churn, and I'm, forgive me for saying this, but I'm on a toilet for the rest of the day. You know what I'm talking about. Who did that? Did I do that or did they do that? They did that. They did
that.
You
just make yourself sick by thinking everybody has to agree with you. You have to learn to take it both ways.
You know, the thing of it is, Professor Clayton, even if they're wrong and you're right, you have to just say, well, you know.
All right. Do you do that on your show? Of course you don't.
Well, I'm on a radio show. I have to maintain a level of credibility.
What? What does that mean exactly?
That means that it's different from being in a classroom. Hey, thank you very much, Lorraine. Very nice call, and good of you to talk to us tonight. Our number 877-876, Phil. 877-876-Phil. I thought I heard music going there in the background. Maybe not. Let's go over to John. We've got about a minute to go in this segment. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I don't mean to talk about Wisconsin. I'm in the military, so my national discussions are a little out of whack, but I usually keep up with international just because of the fact of where we might go, where we might be.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
My thing is the whole uprising in the U.S., and if you're going to go with riots and stuff like that, well, that happens all the time, but it's normally settled through the police or the courts. And if you look at Wisconsin, those are peaceful riots or peaceful protesters, and the police said that they weren't going to take them out of the building because they were being peaceful.
Hold on, John. John, hold the line. We'll be right back with you, John, and with Professor Emery Clayton here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
Phil Henry. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with me is Professor Emery Clayton here. And if you're looking on our videocast, philhenryshow.com, the backdrop there is the city of Seattle.
What city are you in?
I'm in El Pacifico here. I'm up on the L.A. Ventura County line.
Why don't you have a picture of, why don't you have the ocean or something?
Because we're just testing out our new video equipment, and we have a beautiful backdrop of Seattle, which is where my producer, Jason Rantz, resides. And it's a beautiful city, so.
I wanted to, if I could, forgive me, that didn't make any sense to me. And
does that make you feel superior?
No, it doesn't make me feel superior. No, sir. No, it doesn't. But I do want to ask you something about what you do.
Go ahead.
You see, you talking to me, and I yesterday I told you, I forgive you, but you laughed at me, and I asked myself, I'm giving an address to people on the situation in the Middle East, and why the people there are uprising against their governments, and the reality, in my opinion, the same as Louis Farrakhan that's going to visit America, and I'm giving this talk, and you laugh at me, and I ask, how does this world get so balled up that you, with a year and a half, I don't think you got a year and a half of JC, laugh at me, and I got my master's degree from Morehouse College, and I did my postgraduate work at the very same school that Condoleezza Rice went to, University of Denver. Now, I want to ask you something. I've seen you on the television. I've seen you on video. How is it you sit there and hop around like a monkey? It looks to me, Mr. Henry, and I don't mean any offense, but what you're doing there, you look like a monkey, moving all around like a monkey in a cage, you know.
And but you don't mean any offense.
I don't. I'm being very descriptive. Understand there's a difference. I'm being descriptive, and you look like a chimpanzee moving around and grabbing this and grabbing that, hopping all over the place.
And what do you mean grabbing this and grabbing that?
I'm watching you on your video, okay?
Right.
And you're grabbing knobs and twisting and jumping and scratching yourself, and it reminded me of going to the primate house at a monkey at a what do you call it, a monkey zoo, or where they keep Now,
you know, if I said to you the very same thing,
that would be racist.
Yeah, there you go. It would be racist. Yeah, but not you to me.
I don't recall white people ever being consistently compared to a monkey. Do you?
It's individual white people, yeah.
Well, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the consistent comparison. But I'm not saying that you are a monkey. I ain't even saying you look like a monkey. I'm saying your movements are monkey-like. It's what I'm saying.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. You know what? I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm going to go back to this gentleman who's been hanging on. It's John in New Bern, North Carolina. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole discussion on who left and who. That's just that seems like something that I would argue with my best friend about when I was 12. My question is,
he looked like a monkey. That's all.
Okay, well then, if that's what you think, that's your opinion, and you're able to have one in this great nation, and so is he, and so am I, and so is everybody else. I don't need to get into opinions. My question is the whole Middle East uprising? Are you
right.
when you say it when you agree that it's going to come to America? Are you saying it's going to come at the rural area, the state level, the national level? I mean, what do you mean by when you agree that it's going to come over here?
Well, I believe that we're going to have, as Mr. Farrakhan said, there will be a urban uprising of the have-nots against the have. Same as you've seen in the Middle East, see? And
you don't see any difference between the United States and the Middle East.
I'm trying to answer this gentleman's question, and you just jump right in. And that's why I say it reminds me of a what do you call a monkey at the zoo. And
you know, whether it reminds you of a monkey or not, you believe that this is going to happen in the United States because we're the same as Bahrain, we're the same as Tunisia, we're the same as Egypt.
I think that we have. See, you're asking me questions, and John, forgive me, but Mr. Henry, you're asking me questions you got no right to ask.
And why don't I?
Because you don't have the education. See? So that's what I'm saying, John.
You're saying that to me, or?
I'm saying to you, sir, yes, I do believe it'd be urban. And I do believe it will be among the lower classes, the less privileged classes, the people, lower middle class and lower class people, economically deprived for a long time in this country, yes.
Now, are you saying that it's going to be on the same violent level as it is going on over there?
I do. Absolutely, yes.
See, now, I would
disagree, too.
I would disagree with that because let's say I'm poor and you know I'm not liking a bunch of my buddies getting together and we retaliate. Now if we're just retaliating,
what's your educational level? Can I ask you if you've been to college?
Oh God!
No, I went to high school and then I joined the military.
Okay, yeah. See, I can't. You know,
is there a problem with being in the military?
No, there's nothing wrong with being in the military, but I don't think you have the education to argue with me.
Well, I have the education to lead people into battle and to make sound decisions in a split second.
Absolutely.
Saves lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'd argue with me about...
That's, that,
okay.
You know...
Well, I keep up with these international things because that's where I might go. And,
right,
and
that's
the things, those are the things I might have to deal with.
But I'm an educated man, see? And
here we go again. I mean, it's like we're right back where we started.
And you keep sending me back.
See, Professor, and I understand that. I understand you're educated, and I'm not questioning that. And like these past callers, I'm not going to ask you questions about my job, and I don't need to hear questions about your job. I understand that you're smarter than me in certain areas, and I know that I'm smarter than you in certain areas, just not in the same areas. So if we can agree to disagree... I would say that if something like Libya happened here, let's say at a state level,
it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here.
Saying,
I mean, look, the closest we ever came. Excuse me for interrupting, but I got to move this along. The closest we ever came to Libya in this country was in the 1960s when we had a series of urban riots. We had a series of from one city to the next of urban insurrections, if you want to call them that, Professor. And that was one city after the next. I mean, Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, New York, Los Angeles, the South. It was all over the country. And somehow we were able to weather that, pull it together, and survive on to the present day. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. Thank you very much for your call, John. I appreciate it. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. We're always, because the American people just love to scare themselves.
So you're trying to tell me that what happened in the 1960s is what happened in Libya right now?
I'm telling you, the closest our country has come in recent years to what's happening in Libya, Egypt, was the urban insurrections of the 1960s, what we called then the riots. But they were dissatisfied, angry, pissed off Americans, and they had every right to be. And they went out and they hit the streets and they started taking it out on each other, on their neighborhoods, on cops, on the National Guard, and vice versa. And it was a horrible, bloody time.
Well, you just said a whole lot there, and you didn't allow me to say anything. And you didn't allow me to say, and plus, you hung up on that guy. So now he thinks that you're telling me what to do, and I'm the guy with the education.
You're the guy with the education. Tell me what I just said. What's wrong with it?
I'm not going to comment on what you just said, because you don't have the education for me to comment on it. It might be very good, but I'm not going to comment on it. What happened was, as you started talking, that guy hung up. And I'm sitting here like you're scratching my nappy head and saying, now, you take your books, boy, get.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
And you're laughing at me again.
And I didn't say anything of the sort.
Well, it sounded to me like I had bare feet and overalls. You scratched me on my nappy head and said, you best get now, boy. Because that guy's not on the phone anymore. And you're talking to me, an educated man.
About my opinion, that I think that's what the last time that happened in the United States. I think that in this country, we're constantly seeing these terrible things for being something worse than they are. Here is Robin in Boston. Go ahead, Robin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't know.
Hi.
Is this Robin? Or is your name Robin?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just had to say that
Hi. Just
because someone goes to college doesn't mean that they're fully educated. Some of the most intelligent people I know didn't finish college. For example, my father...
Well, how do you know they're intelligent? How do you know they're intelligent?
Well, my father, for example, he knows a lot about astronomy, history. He can hold his own in any political discussion that I have with him. It's, you know, intelligence isn't just formal education. It's about what you know in general. And
that's all fine and dandy, but when we're talking about whether or not the urban insurrection of the 1960s is the same as the insurrections in Libya and Egypt. And Mr. Hendry says that was as close as we ever came to it in this country. And he kept talking about it till that one guy hung up. And I'm sitting here with a college degree, and he's treating me he's visiting my shack in the backwoods of West Virginia, working for Vista.
Oh, yes,
I didn't mean.
It may not have been good that he cut the guy off. I don't know how the show works and how the timing works, but you can't keep using your education as, you know, every time someone brings up a point and they ask you to respond,
right,
you claim that you can't respond because you're an educated man and that they don't deserve a response. The only thing that separates between you and Mr. Hendry is 2 years of college, only 2 years of education.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. I went to 4 years, then I did my postgraduate work. So I've got 8 years of education, Mr. Hendry. In other words, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10, and Mr. Hendry is 1/8.
1/8 on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's right.
Well, I apologize for saying that wrong. But you should be educated enough to understand that not everyone who you talk to is going to be as educated as you are. And you should understand that you need to bring, I'll use your term, you need to bring yourself down to their level so that you can have a conversation. And maybe see that some of the people without college education are just as intelligent as you in other ways.
Robin, that's a very good point. That is a very good point. And in fact, I did do that once. I decided I would bring myself down to people's level when I was teaching, my very first years of teaching at the high school level. And I wanted to lower myself and lower myself and lower myself. But you know, Robin, there are times you can do that and you lose yourself. I woke up, and I'm not proud of this. I woke up in bed with a 16-year-old girl. That's how low I sunk. What are you laughing at?
Good God.
What, excuse me, what are you laughing at?
I'm like, that's how low you say. Robin's talking about education.
I know what she's talking about, sir.
Okay, and so you wanted to reach out to your students, and you wind up sleeping with us.
To do with education.
No, but you said to lower myself to that level, and I lowered myself so much.
Actually,
I woke up. There were wine, there were bottles of wine laying around, and a woman in a, you know, I can't. Thank God, I was only about 28, 29 years old myself. But the fact is, I got up from that bed. I remember throwing up. And walking outside and wondering, what have I done, you know? And I walked halfway down the street in just a pair of underwear and a T-shirt. I didn't even want to get dressed. I just kept walking.
So in your effort to reach out and lower yourself to your student's level, you wound up sleeping with one of them and drinking wine and walking home half naked?
Yes. That's the whole point. Well, she's laughing again, see?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
This is why when I say to you, Mr. Henry, I tell the truth. I tell people how I've come up. I tell people the tough road I've been down. And like I said on Sunday, and you sat there, and here's Robin and the two of you laughing like a couple of hyenas.
She's not laughing like a hyena. She's giggling.
Well, it's the same spike into my gut.
Okay, Robin, thank you very
much.
It's okay. Forget it.
Robin, thank you very much for your call.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Boy, I'll tell you.
Seriously, what is up with that, with you laughing? And
you're telling me you tried to lower yourself and understand your students, and you wound up in bed with a 16-year-old girl with wine empties laying around.
That's exactly what happened. I'm not proud of that at all. But that's what happened. And I try to tell people that and tell people how I've come up a long way and how I've come up a tough road. And they go, ha, 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 ha. Now, what do you say to a man like that? What do you say to a man that laughs in your face after you show him something that you sweated on while you lived in solitary confinement in a dungeon, chained to a wall, bleeding, and you show him the thing that you worked on, and he goes, and he does this. Here, hold on. Like that. I had to put the phone down because the last man, that's exactly how he sounded.
I guess that was me, huh?
Yes, sir.
877-876. I wasn't laughing at you in the middle of any kind of pain, sir. You were in the middle. You were talking about the Middle East. 877-876-PHIL. This is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Can you hold on for a minute?
What?
We're back here on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. In the last segment here with Professor Emory Clayton, Minister Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, as you just said to me, Professor, in this talk that he gave on Sunday. Now, you know, let me just say this, and then you can comment, okay? I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just, you know.
Well, you are giving an opinion.
Well, just listen to this, man.
You know something? I don't like being called man, all right? You know, I left my jitterbugging days.
All right, I apologize. Minister Farrakhan praised Scientology and its founder, L. Ron Hubbard. He extolled the virtues of Scientology and its auditing process. L. Ron Hubbard is so exceedingly valuable to every Caucasian person on this earth. L. Ron Hubbard himself was and is trying to civilize white people and make them better human beings and take away from them their reactive minds. Mr. Hubbard recognized that his people have to be civilized, Farrakhan said to a cheering crowd. He's described a 1983 religious experience in which he ascended into a flying saucer and heard the voice of Elijah Muhammad predicting historical events that came to pass. And he, the keynote address titled God Will Send Saviors capped a weekend of workshops focused on health, preparing for natural disasters and unidentified flying objects. The Nation of Islam believes that a UFO called the Wheel or the mother plane?
Right. What do you want?
Well, do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. What makes you think, because when Minister Farrakhan says that there's going to be upheaval and uprising in the Middle East and it will travel to America, I mean, a lot of what he says makes sense. There's no denying that. There's no denying. Do I agree 100%? No.
And well, what part do you agree with?
What part do I agree with? You can't deny that there might be people on other planets. Are you trying to deny that?
No, I'm not.
All right. All Minister Farrakhan is saying that if there are people on other planets, get ready. And he's talking about L. Ron Hubbard. You know, I think he said something about Scientology makes a lot of sense. All these white people are trying to run down L. Ron Hubbard and say he a charlatan, some kind of a murderer. I mean, they've said all kinds of things about this man. And yet he's the only white man I can think of to come along and talk to other white people and say, you got to get your mind right. Your minds are nothing more than receptacles for garbage. The white man's mind has been a receptacle for garbage for so long. Along comes L. Ron Hubbard to say, let's clean that garbage out. Let's clean that trash out and focus on the flying saucers and the things that are happening. And what do they call them? They call them nuts. But my way of thinking...
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Jerry in Jacksonville. Go ahead. Jacksonville, North Carolina. Go ahead.
My way of thinking, the man makes sense.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. Mr. Henry, this is the first time I've ever heard your radio show. I will be
yes,
a fan from now on.
Thank you.
I have never heard such a pompous jerk in my life as this so-called professor you have on. I tune in the middle of this program, and I would like to know where the professor teaches and what he teaches.
I teach at Canyon College, and I teach UFO studies. Excuse me, I teach Caucasian, the history of the Caucasian, UFO studies, and urban studies.
History of the Caucasian.
That's right.
Okay, just to establish my bona fides in order to converse with you, as you have stated that...
I got to go. I only have the cat with his
people.
Outside.
No,
yes,
let me
speak.
You know,
but I've got a cab waiting outside. I'm trying not to, but I got a cab waiting outside.
Phil Hendry, you're rude.
I'm rude. I ordered the cab.
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I don't like it. That's why I'm putting the hands on my kids.
Nice one, Bachman. Are you hypnotized tonight? Has someone hypnotized you?
I definitely can understand the way he feels to be.
Jews are good with money. World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass we go. Ho! Going places other talk shows can't go. Republicans vow to roll back the Obama agenda now that they hold the majority in the House. Joining us this hour, Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party people. She's going to join us from Florida to talk about what's next on the Tea Party agenda. You know, it wasn't all about the Tea Party, as you well know. There were quite a few Tea Party candidates that were defeated, but I think they got about 80% of their candidates elected last night. So it was far from any kind of a defeat for the Tea Party. It was quite an evening for them. And we're going to talk to Marilyn Donnelly in a moment about that. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And of course our online presence is philhendryshow.com. If you head over there, you can take a look at a live streaming video cast of our show right now, as well as the live streaming audio. And you can access thousands of hours of archive material, thousands of hours of individual character bits, We have video archives. We've got on demand, as well as our podcasts, our mini podcasts, our classic Phil podcast. There's all kinds of stuff, man, going on at the Phil Hendry Show website, because it's a radio show website, because we know about radio, and we've got a show that's worthy of archiving. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. All right, let's gonna get Marilyn Donnelly on the line here from Orlando, Florida, first and foremost, and say hello and a very good evening to her. A very pleasant good morning to you, Marilyn. How are you?
Well, it's been a wonderful 24 hours, a wonderful 48 hours, Phil, in the life of a neophyte politico. But I'm really enjoying it.
What a night for you, as well as the conservatives, Republicans, people across the country who were opposed to the current direction of the country. Quite a sweeping night, huh?
It was indeed. And we are poised for more, and I think even better moves in the near future. And we are poised to take the message to Washington that we want smaller government, that we want individuals responsive to the electorate, individuals that are responsive to the American people. And we simply are not going to allow Washington to dictate to us how much of our hard-earned money we put into ridiculous programs that are designed to help no one, that could never possibly help anyone, and that are doomed to failure. And we think this is a great time, Phil, to bring more people into the Tea Party movement by expressing, I think, a expansive and a point of view that is embracing of all American people. And to that end, the Sunshine State Tea Party, in referring to our founding fathers and mothers, which is something that will be a point of departure for us from other Tea Party organizations in this country, but we hope that others will pick up on this.
Well, you're talking about the founding mothers and fathers, which is not I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We've had a lot of women involved in the founding of our country. But are you talking about the Abigail Adamses and...
No, we're really not. Abigail Adams was a wonderful counsel to her husband. Martha Washington was the same. And certainly there were other women involved from the standpoint of domestic... I heard Ellen Burstyn once say that women are assistant people. No, we want the term founding fathers and founding mothers to be used in the sense that women as well as men were involved in the very creation of the legal charter of this country. That is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and even still to some extent the fighting of the Revolutionary War. Now, were there women at the signing of the Declaration of Independence? No, there were not, but it is not really a point that needs to be argued, because while there were no women actually there, the perception that there were is not too far off. It's not, in other words, the perception that there were women who helped write the Constitution, it is not that far removed from reality when you think that, yes, there could very well have been women helping with the Constitution. It just so happens that in those days, women were not allowed to do that kind of work. We have so many people who signed so many documents that founded this country, we can't recite all of them. So there's no, I think, problem in saying, well, there must have been a woman in there, or maybe there were women. It doesn't really matter. The perception that women helped found this country and helped write the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, as well as lead as soldiers in the Revolutionary War, would help so many American women at a time when we need to see ourselves far more actively than we do.
Yeah, but are American women going to want to see themselves historically? Are they going to, not themselves, but are they going to want to see other American women historically in a false light?
We don't think it's a false light, Phil, and I'll tell you why.
Why not?
Because had women been allowed to be involved in politics in those days, women would have signed the Declaration of Independence. Had women been allowed to be involved in politics in those days, women would have written the Constitution. So what we're saying is that in essence, in a theoretical sense, women did sign the Declaration of Independence and write the Constitution. If women had been allowed in the military in those days, women would have been members of the military and would have been members of the Congressional Army. So it's not too far removed to say that women were a part of the actual founding fathers and mothers of this country.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party joining us. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the Tea Party and the Republican Party and the conservative movement in this country and the great victories that you guys achieved last night. The victories that you achieved last night, are they making it possible for you to sort of take this next, and forgive me for using the word, but this next propaganda step?
Well, I don't see it as a propaganda step at all.
Well, it sort of feels to me like now's the time to empower women historically. So you want to say the founding fathers and mothers. Now, people are going to agree with that.
Yes, they will agree with that because there were founding fathers and mothers. But we want to go a step further. We want, when we say the words founding fathers and founding mothers, we want young women to believe that those founding mothers...
Yeah, I know. Signed the Declaration of Independence, wrote the Constitution, and...
Well, don't preempt me, Phil. Let me finish. Yes, wrote the Constitution and signed the Declaration of Independence and fought in the Revolutionary War and were every bit as much a part of the bloodletting and the conquering of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War as men. Is it so? It doesn't matter, because had it been legal for women to do those things, then they would have. So this is a very subtle point, but we want it very clearly understood. Women must now be perceived as founding mothers, like men are perceived as founding fathers. But not in the sense that they baked apple pie. In the sense that they actually signed the Declaration of Independence.
And when you look at the Declaration of Independence and you see that there are no female names on that document, what do you say to a young woman who said, but we signed the Declaration of Independence?
You can certainly say to her that women were not allowed to sign the Declaration of Independence, and they weren't. Had they been allowed, yes, there would be female names there. Who is hurt by changing the way we teach history? These are small changes. There are no victims here.
So when you take a young lady and you show her the Constitution, and you look at the names of the delegates from each of the states who signed the Constitution, and there are no women, you say to that young woman, there would have been women signing it had they been allowed.
There most certainly would have been women signing it had they been allowed, but they were not allowed. But there are women's signatures that should be on the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Who are they?
I don't know. They were not allowed to sign it.
But were they in Philadelphia?
I don't know.
Ms. Donnelly, were there women involved in the writing of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence?
Mr. Henry, I don't know the answer to that. I do know it was illegal to have women involved in the creation of those documents. And so the women that were involved in creating those documents...
Well, you don't know that women were involved in creating those documents, do you?
And you don't know that they weren't. And that's the point that we are trying to make to our young ladies. I don't know if there were women in the Revolutionary and the Continental Army. I don't know that a woman didn't lead a charge on those British trenches at Yorktown. But it's time now to at least allow women to think it was possible.
And so to that end, we now begin to refer to them as our founding fathers and our founding mothers.
Founding fathers and founding mothers, yes. And this is part of our Tea Party, if you will, the embracing of a larger piece of history by the Tea Party. This was a wonderful win for us last night, Bill. We cannot squander the opportunity. And the founding fathers and founding mothers, and let me underline that, founding fathers and founding mothers of this country... are smiling, I think, on all of us today.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
And if I could make one more point, Phil, when we say founding fathers and founding mothers, we want to emphasize founding mothers. And I want to see the reaction of men when I do that. Founding fathers and founding mothers. What do men do? How do they react? A lot is going to depend upon that. A lot will depend how far we are able to move into the future. How far we are able to take this country will depend a lot on how men react to the phrase founding fathers and founding mothers.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about incorporating into our speech now the line founding fathers and founding mothers? And not just from the standpoint of Abigail Adams and Martha Washington, oh, I don't know, cooking food or, you know, keeping a nice home, but from the standpoint of there might very well have been women involved in the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the creation of the Constitution. 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
For the founding fathers and founding mothers.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to some of your phone calls in a moment here. 877-876-PHIL. We've got on the line Marilyn Donnelly. Ms. Donnelly is with the Tea Party of the Sunshine State Tea Party. Excuse me, Marilyn. The victory of the conservative movement in this country at the polls last night has not only emboldened people in the Tea Party, in the Republican Party, to move their agenda forward, but you see this as an opportunity to expand the rights of women and the position of women in history. And that is with the phrase, the founding fathers and founding mothers. You said something before the break that I thought was interesting. You said as the length to which we are able to succeed in this country, how far we're able to go, will depend a lot on how well men accept that phrase.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
Well, what I meant, Phil, is simply the founding fathers and founding mothers. That is a real statement. That is not a concocted statement. There were founding fathers and there were founding mothers. The founding fathers have been given a great deal of credit for the creation of some of the most epic documents in the history of self-governance in this world, the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. There are no credit given at all to women in either the creation of those two documents or in any kind of service to this country by way of arms. That would be in the military. Our educational system must include in the phrase the founding fathers and the founding mothers, which is the way that we want that phrase to be heard, gives young ladies an opportunity to know that women were involved in the founding of this country.
But you don't want it just to be about women involved in the founding of the country, like Betsy Ross or Abigail Adams.
No, it's too late for that. It's much too late for the tales of Abigail Adams and Martha Washington and Betsy Ross. We've moved past that.
But those are real women. Those were real people. And they lived. Eliza Hamilton is another. She was very popular.
Eliza Hamilton was a woman who had been married to a man that cheated on her. We want strong women recognized as our founding mothers. And those would be the women that founded the country and signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, I know that no women's names appear on the Declaration of Independence. That does not mean there weren't women involved in writing it. I know there are no...
You're making an assumption there. I don't know. Being a fan of history and wanting history to be historically accurate...
Well, do you think history is accurate when it writes that there were only men signing the Declaration of Independence?
I think insofar as we know what the Declaration of Independence, what went into to creating the Declaration of Independence, I think that history is accurate.
And shouldn't history be fair to women?
History needs to be accurate. I've never said that history needs to be fair. History needs to be accurate. If it happened a certain way...
And what of the name Governor Morris on the Declaration of Independence, which we read as Guinevere Morris? Do you know who Guinevere Morris was?
Governor Morris.
It reads as Guinevere Morris.
So you're now telling me there was actually a woman who signed the Declaration of Independence?
I don't know. I can tell you there are interpretations as to the signing of that document as well as the Constitution. And to say the Founding Fathers and the Founding Mothers is to say that the Founding Mothers did more than bake cookies and make beds and bring their husbands lunch.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Do you believe Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers? You want this phrase used in schools.
Well, we want the phrase used in schools, but we want the phrase recited in such a way so as to emphasize the contribution of women, so it'll be Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers. And you give emphasis, Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers. You give emphasis.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Here is Drew in Boston. Go ahead, Drew, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
All right, I was just saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, that we should make it seem like women had a part in the, you know, founding of our country, but you really need to have at least one example that you could pull off the top of your head. You know, any given person could give at least three founding fathers, you know, right off the top of their head. So if you want to do
but
the bare...
Those are the only ones that they recorded,
only,
though.
Well, I mean,
those are the only people
just,
that they recorded.
Second, it's just,
yeah,
I'm just
ahead.
Saying, you know, if you want it to be all fair, you know, then you got to be fair. You have to have an example, at least one, and saying, oh, well, they don't keep records, that's a little ridiculous.
Exactly. But they didn't keep records.
You find love letters and stuff from the people back then, you know. You got to find at least one document that had a woman that was saying that, what was going on is good.
Well, we feel that young women knowing that there were women there, and so to say that...
But we don't know that there were women there.
Do you have a document? See, you gentlemen don't understand it. The history is written by men. They're not going to record the presence of women.
Are you saying that there were women there, but it was not recorded?
I'm saying it does not hurt us to tell our young women, yes, there were women there.
Even though we can't be sure.
What difference does it make? Who cares?
What? Want to take credit. You want women to take credit for something that you can't
prove had
anything to do with.
Who's to say that that name is not Governor Morris, that that name is indeed Guinevere Morris? We don't know.
That name is Governor Morris because the name is recorded elsewhere as Governor Morris.
The name is recorded elsewhere as Governor Morris, Phil, because that is what was on the Declaration of Independence. But the name could very well be that of a Guinevere Morris.
Well, then you're saying that there was a woman there and that she was dressed as a guy. I don't know. Drew, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Were there women there?
It doesn't matter if they were really there or not. We want people to think they were.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back. I've got Marilyn Donnelly on the line from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Big wins last night for Tea Party conservatives, Republicans across the country. I stated at the outset, Ms. Donnelly, that the Tea Party didn't do bad last night.
Oh, no, we did very, very, very well, Phil. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of our candidates were elected, so the idea that the Tea Party was not the story last night is very much... not a factor.
But we're talking about you taking this win by the Tea Party and now using it to expand the influence of American history into all walks of life. You want it said now, Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers. even though we don't have evidence of women signing the Declaration of Independence or of the Constitution.
I'll give you an example. You know, if you say you believe in God and I say, do you have proof of God, you would say to me, who cares? So if I say to you that we had founding mothers who were a part of the writing of the Declaration of Independence, and you say to me, do you have proof, I say to you, who cares? Because it is more important for young women to know that women were there every step of the way, signing it, putting into play the Constitution, the War of 1812, as my father used to say, the whole Megillah. Do you know, Phil, whether the name Hugh Williamson is that of a Declaration of Independence signer or a linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles? Hugh Williamson, who?
Well, I'm going to have to assume a signer of the Declaration.
Yes, he was the signer of the Declaration of Independence, but you could easily have thought of him as a black linebacker in the National Football League. Why couldn't he have been a black man signing the Declaration of Independence? Charles Pinckney, who was a very famous foppish man from South Carolina, was he gay? Abraham Baldwin, was he a transsexual? Is LGBT represented? All of these questions can now become a part of our national historical dialogue.
I not to the extent that you've got to invent things. 877-876-PHIL.
I just got done explaining and going through a great many examples and a lot of information, and for you to throw it all away with a comment before you go to a phone call, it irritates me. It really, I have to be honest, it really does.
I apologize, but that's my job. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Maurice on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Maurice. You're on with Marilyn Donnelly.
Yeah, Marilyn, I wanted to make a point that it seems like you're trying to rewrite history, and I think it's absurd because I don't think it's necessary to do that just for the so that young women can feel empowered. I'm an African-American. I'm a Republican. And to me, that's almost like saying, well, let's just say that there was white slaves so that black people will feel somehow empowered that, you know, they had some part in something that they didn't. I don't think it's necessary. I think you're
Why can't we do that? Why not do that? How do we know there weren't white slaves and black plantation owners?
Oh, come on.
It's just pointless. That's all it is. It's not even necessary. I mean, look at the achievements that lots of women have achieved without even having to do that. And, you know, people, like young girls coming up these days, they don't even put a lot of thought into things like that. Only thing they look at is, what can I achieve from this point on? So I don't think there's even any point of rewriting history.
I agree with you there, but young women don't think about history. And as a result, young women find themselves caught in a world of contemporary issue and contemporary struggle that has no historical context. And I would want young women to understand that founding fathers and founding mothers, and you notice the way I say that? Can I ask you, Maurice, does that bother you?
Does what bother him?
It doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me is it's not accurate. And when you look at history, you want history to be accurate. I think it's better
to have
it that way and just to look at, okay, look how far we've come. Look what we've achieved now. Look what we can achieve in the future. I think it's much better to have it that way than to try and,
Would you call Crispus Attucks, who was an African-American, would you call Crispus Attucks, one of the men killed in the Boston Massacre by the British, a founding father of this country, a man who bravely stood up to the British and was shot down that night?
A founding father?
Yeah.
Well,
A revolutionary martyr, a revolutionary, maybe, but not a founding father.
But I'm not asking you, Mr. Henry, because you're not black.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, no, I don't think that's the reason. It's just that that's not, he wasn't part of writing any part of the Declaration or signing it or anything else, and that's just the reality of it. It doesn't mean that black people don't have a place in history and black people haven't achieved anything,
but what if we found out he had signed the Declaration of Independence and then was gunned down?
Who?
Well, Crispus Attucks.
That didn't happen.
Well, considering that his signature's not on it, how could he discover that?
How can you say that? What do you mean he signed it and then got gunned down?
Because it was in 1775 that Crispus Attucks was gunned down.
No, it wasn't. It was in 1770. You got to get your history right before you can, well, rewrite history.
And that's very cute. My point is simply this. Again, founding fathers and founding mothers.
All right, I got it. All right, thank you very much, Maurice, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Crispus Attucks is not a founding father. Crispus Attucks is a revolutionary. He was an American revolutionary.
Let me tell you who Crispus Attucks really was. Crispus Attucks was a sailor. He was a seaman. He had just gotten off a merchant ship. He was drinking in a Boston tavern with his mates. He heard this ruckus going on down the street. He came out of the tavern and down the street and confronted the British. He was, yes, a revolutionary, and yes, he was a martyr, but more to the point, he was just a drunk that was staggering down the street.
Let's not start calling people names. You got women who were signing the Declaration of Independence, and Crispus Attucks is a drunk, and you're just all of a sudden, you know...
Well, why can't I start calling some of these people out if we do not allow women to take their rightful place at the Constitutional Convention?
At the Constitutional Convention?
Yes.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Tim. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a real quick statement for the lady on the telephone.
Sir.
She does
yes,
understand that history is, in fact, based on facts instead of just calling it a fiction.
Yes, it is. I understand that. Hello?
Timmy there? Well, I guess he hung up. And probably the reason why he hung up is because he heard you belch. Here is it Rafiq? Rafiq, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. This is Rafiq.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I can understand the premise that she's attempting to use, but being a black man in America, I do have a history from my forefathers that have played a very important role in building this country. Now, what I'm saying is very brief. If that premise exists that she's trying to put forward, then everyone should be inclusive, not exclusive.
I agree. I totally agree, and that's why I think that Hugh Williamson could very well have been black.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. Hugh Williamson was a real guy. He was white.
Well, we don't know that for sure. And the reason why I say that, if you have the name Hugh Williamson, it sounds like a black man's name, doesn't it? Rafiq?
Yes?
Do you think the name Hugh Williamson sounds black?
What I'm saying is can be proven historically.
All right.
We have Christopher Adams, who fought in the Revolutionary War. We have friends who helped build Washington, D.C. We played a very important role in this history. So if we're going to say the founding father, mothers and fathers are founding fathers and mothers, we should also say the founding fathers, mothers, and enslaved.
Well, I'll go you one better. We should say the founding white and black fathers and white and black mothers.
What's wrong with that?
I mean...
There's nothing wrong with that. I like that.
All right, fine. But I want to tell you this. If we're going to say founding white fathers, founding black fathers, founding white mothers, that's okay, but you can't say that the founding white mothers were involved in something they weren't involved in. If you're trying to tell me they signed the Declaration of Independence or that they were at the Constitutional Convention...
Well, what about black people?
I think this gentleman put it very well. Black people built Washington, D.C. Many of them served in the Revolutionary Army. They went on to serve in the Civil War. There's a great many founding black fathers and black mothers, and white fathers and white mothers, but they weren't at the Declaration of Independence, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Phil, you insult every black man when you say that.
How am I insulting black people when I say that?
Well,
I don't
tell him.
I don't think
it's
much.
Tell him.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I don't think as much as in Thornton. If we really dig down deep into it, we'll find that Abraham Lincoln had black children. So shouldn't those children be represented through their father as being part of that signing?
I think so. I think Abraham Lincoln himself might have been black.
Well, come on, will you? How do you know that?
Oh, so it isn't possible, is it?
Well, I know that he was friends with Frederick Douglass. That's about all I know. Abraham Lincoln, you know...
What about Beethoven? See, this is what we're saying. And we're, yeah, Beethoven was black.
So. All right, thank you very much, Rafiq, for your call. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. I'm just going to take a break here because now I've got Beethoven's black, Abraham Lincoln, and let's see, what else? Well, 877, oh yeah, Hugh Williamson was a linebacker for the Eagles. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
The founding fathers and the founding mothers.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Great victory for the Tea Party last night. But today, you would like to take that a step further, Ms. Donnelly, and you would like to almost codify founding fathers and founding mothers. You want founding mothers mentioned in every phrase with founding fathers, and you don't want that to mean that they were just Abigail and Martha making ice cream, that they were women signing the Declaration of Independence. Marilyn, you there?
Yes, Phil.
That's correct, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, in essence, correct. You see, the founding fathers, and I have with me from our theatrical arm, Chuck Wardley. Chuck is an actor. And he does the recreations. He does a great many one-man shows featuring our founding fathers. And again, as I said to the last caller, it is how men react to the phrase founding fathers and founding mothers.
Okay, we lost... we'll get her back here. Marilyn Donnelly is our guest. Marilyn, are you there?
And that is why we have Chuck here.
Marilyn, we didn't hear that last part. Let me take a phone call, and then I'll get to... what you have Chuck standing by to demonstrate to us. 877-876-PHIL. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Marilyn Donnelly.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I just have a comment about your guest and her opinion. I'd like to see some proof of what she is trying to say happened with the Declaration of Independence. The founding fathers were the people who signed the Declaration of Independence and actually founded the Constitution of this country. There were a lot of females and blacks who contributed to what this country is and what it started out to be. But if you're talking about founding fathers, then I would like to see some proof.
And founding mothers as well. And the point that I'm making is, you want proof. Well, right now, what we're looking at is the very, very likely a possibility there were LGBT that were represented there.
LGBT at the signing?
Yes.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual. Who was a lesbian or a bisexual?
Well, I mentioned Charles Pinckney.
That's ridiculous.
But you don't know that. You don't know that. You're saying that because you want to believe that every... In other words, Margaret, what you're saying here...
I thought I was talking to a caller.
I apologize. Mike, go ahead.
It's ridiculous. You just got through saying that Abraham Lincoln was black. Look, black people contributed to this country, and they've made some great contributions and sacrifices to this country, but to try to push your personal agenda, whatever that may be, is ridiculous. You're trying to rewrite history... because it's something that you want to believe and apparently want to make others believe, and it just doesn't work that way. Facts are facts.
Right, the founding fathers and founding mothers, if Abraham Lincoln was black, it's time to face the music.
We don't know that he's black. There's no evidence that he's black. None whatsoever. No evidence. And we have to go by way of evidence. We can't just say, I assume, based on... There's a lot of circumstantial things in this world. History has circumstantial evidence. But until such time as we can really connect the dots in a sane way, there's no indication whatsoever in Abraham Lincoln's lineage that he was black.
You know, Phil, you're doing a lot of talking, and you're not letting the callers talk. If you let the callers talk, I'm able to convince them of what I'm saying. And
I don't think this man is convinced at all. Mike, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Cheryl on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. You're on with Marilyn Donnelly.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I, first of all, God help us if this woman actually is part of the Tea Party, because to me it sounds like you have a very liberal agenda. And
No, I do not. I want women involved in the very building blocks of this country. No way, Jose.
I understand that, but you can't reinvent history. You have no proof. Just because that you would like to think that it was that way, you can't actually say that it was. Because history is based on historical facts. That's the definition of history, is it not?
What do you think of the idea that, don't you, yes, that is what it is based on. How likely is it that a woman wasn't somewhere in the vicinity as they were signing that declaration?
It doesn't matter if the likelihood of them being in the vicinity. It's the fact of whether they were actually documented in being
right
there. That is history.
What do you mean?
History.
What do you mean at the vicinity?
As they were signing the Declaration of Independence, was there a woman somewhere within a 2 or 3 city block radius? Let me just ask that. Do you think that's possible?
Well, of course. But that doesn't mean just because, I mean, if someone is in a 2 or 3 block radius of any historical event happening, does that mean that they are actually a part of that historical event taking place?
No, it does not, but it does give us the opportunity to contemplate that if there were women in the vicinity, why weren't they there signing the document, you see?
Oh, come on, because there's a woman walking down the street outside of the very hall where the men were signing the Declaration of Independence. You're now saying, aha, maybe she was in there signing it.
I don't think I went, aha, like I'm in a Felix the Cat cartoon. I'm saying the following thing. To Cheryl, do you believe, Cheryl, it would matter if we said founding fathers and founding mothers? Do you think men would be able to get with that?
Well, I don't really see a problem with saying founding fathers and founding mothers. I don't really think that anybody has an objection to that.
Okay.
The issue is trying to reinvent history or change, because you're very adamant about wanting to change what is taught in schools and in history.
Is there the possibility that when they were signing the declaration there was a gay man there in the building?
Well, so what if he was in the building? Oh, I get it. Was he serving the drinks? Maybe he was waiting the tables where they were going off and having their pints of ale or whatever the hell those guys did.
Maybe, and maybe he was there signing it. That's my point, Cheryl, and we'll never, ever make peace with history until we consider the possibility that, yes, there was a transsexual signing the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, first of all, it's not that you're wanting to just explore, from my understanding, it's not that you're just wanting to explore the possibility. You're actually wanting to document and say that it is fact, when in fact we have no fact that that's the way that it was. So you can't rewrite history just because you want to explore the possibility that it could be that way.
But you yourself said it was very possible that somewhere in the area, as they were signing that, there was a queer that...
Well, can we not use that word, please?
I'm sorry. What do you think of us saying, founding fathers and... You know what? I got to get Chuck in here, Phil, because I promised him to do this. Chuck Worsley is an actor. When I cue you, founding fathers and founding mothers. What do you think, Phil?
Great.
Well, you're lying to me.
Phil Hendry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.